We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Grant Bills is here from Mad City Sports or whatever the fuck it's called.
Oh, that only took like 15 seconds for the first F-bomb.
What's it called?
Sorry to Dan Shaney's kids. I work for The Zone. That's so easy. That's just a station.
You don't work for like the greater overarching network?
Yeah, we do have a network. The sports.
What's the network called?
The Wisconsin Sports Zone Network. I don't have to spell this out for you.
What did I say? Mad City Windows?
Close. Mad City Windows and Bath. We're rebranding. Yes.
Oh. And then Paul Emig. From Goodest of Buddies Incorporated.
Yes.
LLC.
From Better Call Paul LLC.
Wow.
Well, what's up, guys?
Not much.
What's up with you, bud?
I got a new job.
You did?
Wow. I did.
What does that mean? Tell us more.
Well, it's a little uncomfortable kind of to say, but I got a new job. After a long search, it's part of me was looking, part of me wasn't.
The bank called you back?
Don't ruin my bit, you asshole.
Sorry. Sorry.
From the top, Tim, cut, and then we'll restart here in 3, 2, 1. Bart, what's up?
Was actually what you were going to say? Did I just ruin that?
What I was going to say was, a job opened up at Batteries Plus, and I have the role of battery tester. What I will be doing is testing batteries and making sure, and like, so I take the battery and I play it out with different products. So I like, if I play with a Game Boy, I play it and keep track of how long the battery lasts.
Mm-hmm. Take notes.
Take notes. Document it. I'm going to do a vlog.
Oh, no way.
A vlog.
Are you like their AA battery guy, AAA battery, or did you get both parts? Did you get both branches of?
They're not letting you start right away with the 9 volts, are they?
No. That's advanced work.
Okay, so it's the little beads that you put in a scale in your key fob.
I don't even know what those are called, but yeah.
The hearing aid batteries.
I don't think this is the right sign language for it, but.
All right, DK Metcalf, what does it mean?
Loose butthole.
I'm on full-time CBS.
Oh, so not Batteries Plus.
Well, in addition to that, yeah, my days are going to be long, but we're going We're like the Brewers did in 97. We're taking this thing national.
How long have you had that line prepared? That's really good.
No shit. That's good. Well, congrats, Bart. Genuinely. That is so exciting. And I got to say, you know that I think so highly of your ability to host local radio. Over the last couple months listening on CBS, I feel the same way about your national prowess. You are very good at it. So congrats. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a different dance.
Let's blow smoke up Bart's butt here for a few minutes, shall we?
No, I don't want.
But I'm gonna say one thing. I have texted you just we're gonna make him really uncomfortable, Grant. So come up with another compliment.
I will.
And said, like, when you now when you monologue on the Bart Winkler Show podcast, it's like alarmingly good talking to yourself, because you were always, more than any other radio host that I know, like, you were a conversationalist. Like, you're very
good. I hate talking about myself.
No, I know that, but tough. You're going to have to listen to this for a minute. You're very good at talking to Chuck and talking to Horvath and talking to, like, your co-hosts and making it a part of, like, an
atmosphere. No, I hate – I don't like doing solo radio.
No, I know. But I'm telling you that, I know that, and, B, you've gotten very, very good at solo radio, even when you're just doing, like, a 10-minute open or a 20-minute open of the podcast. And I've texted you that. I'm like, wow. Like, for a guy that didn't like doing this or maybe still doesn't, it's gotten very good. So on behalf of the Winklerverse, I think Grant and I have to obviously very officially congratulate you, because this is such an obvious move for CBS to all of us. It's nice to see that other people hear and see what we hear and see. So obviously huge congrats, bud.
Well, thanks.
Grant, your turn.
Same goes for me, double.
Well, it's like the same way that, you know, nobody gets into baseball to catch pop flies.
Mm.
You get in to be at the bat. So that's how when I'm solo, I look at that as I'm fielding.
Mm.
And when I'm batting, that's the shit like this.
Yeah,
that I really enjoy.
Yeah,
so solo hosting is. It's insane person behavior. Like, you need to have a discussion with yourself and then also, like, occasionally make fun of yourself and then laugh at yourself while you're making fun of yourself and then go back to it's insane. It's unhealthy.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's very fun.
It's an art.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Congrats.
So that's, I have a bit of news, you know, as people, I have a bit of news.
Personal news, colon.
Personal news.
It's never personal news, by the way, when people do that. It's always professional. Like,
I have entered the transfer portal.
Oh, but
no. So the show's going to be 10 to 2 Eastern, so 9 to 1 Central.
9 p.m. to 1
p.m. to 1 a.m.
Do you get to flirt with Amy Lawrence at the very end? A little crosstalk on your way out?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
In my contract, yes.
You do lead into her show then, yeah.
Yeah. I guess the other details have come out or will come out. Or I mean, I'm not 9 to 1. I will be on 1250 for Milwaukee area.
Awesome.
But I'm also on every market around here.
Mm-hmm.
So I can pull that up.
Every station runs 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Yeah, there's no local programming.
Unless it's like the Brewers. But
if the Brewers play, I'll get kicked off by certain places.
Yeah, for 2 hours. But now with Rob Manfred's new rules, we barely miss any part of your show.
So where am I on? I'm on in Milwaukee. I'm on Appleton on WDUZ.
Oh, okay.
In Green Bay. So I'm on there. 107.5. I'm on in Madison on the zone.
You better get to it, yeah.
Grant, we're coworkers.
I love, because anytime you're in for Gelb, you come right out of my show into yours.
I'm on lacrosse on WKTY.
That's all that really matters.
In Wausau, I'm Rhinelander. I'm on WJJQ, the sports Q.
The sports Q.
I'm in Superior. God, WDSM.
That's a dream.
Yeah. So there you go. There you have it.
All right, real quick. I want you to give your acceptance speech.
Ooh.
And the 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. slot on CBS radio goes to Bart Winkler.
Well, yeah.
Bart, come on up.
Thank you. Thank you. Or I'll be like how Will Ferrell. I'll just come out dressed like a abominable snowman for no reason. So the thank yous, like, it's too long. It's a cop out, but it is. I think so. The podcast will still, in some way or shape, we're not I'm not done with the podcast. I think that was something I should have addressed a little earlier. Our podcast isn't over. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to change the name of it.
Winklerverse.
The Bart Brief.
The Bart Brief.
The Bart Brief.
Bart's Brief.
Diary of a Battery Plusman. But this is so when I first, I've talked about this. Let me just do this real quickly. I don't want to. When I lost employment, this became an option because of the many people that said, hey, you should give it a try. And I kept it as a daily thing, which you guys kept as a routine in your lives. You know, maybe not every day, maybe after Packer games, whatever. But in the morning, Bart was on the radio or your audio platform, and you knew to find it. So without people listening, I wouldn't have continued. Like, I needed listenership first, and I wouldn't have continued. And there's a lot of you guys that I have been able to meet, some that still, like, emerge out of the shadows, like, every couple of whenevers. And all of it's good. All of it's good, and you're all part of it. Then sponsors came on board. Everyone that sponsors the show is a listener. Everybody is listened to the show, and they've come on and they've sponsored the show, and you didn't make me seek out any awkward, like, cold calling. It was, hey, we want to support this, and I want to, and then you guys, for, like, you know, Dan Shaney uses Sunant Interactive now for his website, and that kind of stuff is really, really cool. So that's been really fun. Everybody who's come on and given their time, whether it's in the comments or the videos, you guys for doing this every week. The Tim Shays of the world, as if there's more than one. You know, everybody that's jumped on, everybody that's been a part of this in any way, I don't not recognize what role you played in this. So I do want to keep it going. It will look different, which means I'll do it less. But I do still want. I want to find a time every week where I do, like, a live whatever. And then we can take callers. Maybe. I don't know. I got to figure that out. This will be the last week of shows of 2023. I'm going to take off for the holidays. So no Packer post on Panthers game.
Mm.
Unless they lose, then I might have to fucking do something. New Year's Eve is my anniversary, so that's already out the window. And then I'll be on after the college football games on January 1st.
You'll be on CBS National Radio
on January 1st. So, like, everyone's invited to.
I have to assume.
Am I Greg counseling this podcast?
No. I have to assume the vast majority of your Winklerverse will follow you over. Why would they not? You might just have to talk a little bit more Yankees and Jets than you're used to.
Oh, I talk a lot of college football on that show, so watch out.
All right, so I know. Just tell me when so I know which parts to skip.
Now you don't have to talk about baseball.
Yeah, you probably have to talk more baseball.
Well, I mean, I guess. NBA, college football, NFL.
Be ready baseball, to break down
National baseball talk is kind of – baseball's fun to talk about. People rip on baseball, but either you're screaming about a Brewer game every day, which is fun, or you're, like, talking about the big topics of baseball, which is also fun.
Get ready to break down that Yamamoto contract.
Jesus, I hate baseball.
don't lead with that on your show.
I want to shout out again Happy Place Hemp, not only for their partnership, but for the gummies I had last night to help me sleep. So we're trying to make lifestyle changes. We got to the gym. Well, I went last Friday and my legs have been sore since, so I haven't been back. But also, I'm trying to have less alcohol. So during the week and with this new job, like, I'm not going to come home. And it's one thing to, like, come home at 9, have a drink at 10. That's one thing. To come home at 1:30. And then have a drink when your family's in bed. That is something for a doctor to hear. So the gummies will be what helps me sleep the most. I will take those. It's the CBD, CBN ones. I was actually in the store the other day. college court in Muskego, and a guy came in and he goes, "I can't sleep, Doc. What do you got?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago, I just couldn't start sleeping." And so he got recommended the CBD, CBN ones. And then the guy, Chris, was like, "How did you hear about us?" And I was like, "Please say Bart Winkler show. Please say Bart Winkler show." And the guy's like, "Oh, I was just across the street at Maddie's for lunch one day, and I saw your place." I'm like, "Please let that count in the order." But whatever. So that guy came in. Sampler pack, I think, is what he took, or like a smaller pack to try it, because they want to make sure it works for you. You're not going to go to Happy Place Hemp, and they're going to say, "Here's a gallon of our stuff. Give us $900. They want to make sure it works, that it's agreeable, that it just works. And then you can come back for more. And that's why the code's so cool, because you can keep using it. Promo code is BART, 25% off your orders, happyplacehemp.com. I also got the 50 milligram Delta 8s, which I haven't dipped into yet. That might be a Thursday night special. We'll see.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she had just launched her new side gig, a true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert, I made her second income count by guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and her maximum refund.
What did she do with that refund? Find out next week.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
Paul Imig, take us away with some questions. Let's finally do something.
Mm-hmm. I didn't write this first one. My buddy did. He didn't mean it to be a question, but he sent it to me, and I said, I'm stealing that. That's mine now. Joe Barry. More like Dingleberry. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm. All right. I know you've done the Joe Barry thing on your – obviously, the post game on Sunday into Monday, and I saw your Tim Shea Tuesday post. I haven't listened to it yet, but apparently it starts with some Joe Barry talk. I feel we need to just, at least leading into a game against the 2-12 Panthers, we need to at least tie a bow on this Joe Barry thing, because I don't think we can discuss local sports as a threesome here today until we've at least, I don't know, beat the dead horse over the head a couple more times. So, yeah. Joe Barry's
well, one of the things I said, I'm not answering that question. That's
whatever. I just it was just my intro. I told him I was going to use it, and then that. But it talk about Joe Barry.
Do they still make? No,
how about this? How about this? I'll ask it for real, just to like at least give you like a premise.
You're good. You said talk about Joe Barry. I'm good.
Go all right, rock and roll then.
Joe Barry. Mm-mm. I think what's important here is that there's a lot of like ways to look at it. And I think looking at it the LaFleur way is a way that I wish I didn't like. The longer they keep Joe Barry, the more of a stain that is on LaFleur. Like, what are you doing?
That is absolutely.
And everyone's like, oh, they're really good friends. They haven't been in like the same NFL circles, but they're not like great friends. And if he's this protective of him, this is why I don't want a Mike LaFleur on this staff or a Robert Saleh on this staff. Because if you're this protective of Joe Barry. How are, and Joe Barry, and here you're saying it's like there are two different LaFleurs where he's being asked about the defense. And he goes, we got to clean some stuff up. There's a lot of stuff going on that I don't like. This is happening. This is happening. And then when he's asked about Joe Barry, he's like, he can't connect that Joe Barry's running the defense. And the other thing about this, why I think and what point we've gotten to is when Brandon Staley got fired from the Chargers, everyone knew. It didn't matter if you were an NFL insider. It didn't matter if you just, that was the game you watched. You could feel, when you watch a Law and Order and it's, okay, that guy's the killer. I mean, he's going to be the killer. Like, it's obvious. Oh, that coach is getting fired. Brandon Staley running off the field. He knew that was the last time he was going to, you could see it. He knew it was going to be the last time he was a Charger. So what I said earlier this week was, You've got the guys like me who are always like, when the beat writers, and not the ones that try to be superstars, but when the actual beat writers that try to cover the team on the beat as it was decreed how to do so way back in yesteryear.
Like Silverstein and Huber.
Exactly.
Silverstein, Doherty, yes. Huber.
Yep.
These guys. And Wildy to an extent, although he does, he's got an on-air role.
Wildy walks that line pretty well, I feel like. I don't think of him as a gas bag radio guy like us. He walks the line.
I don't either. I attacked Wildy early on. I don't really know him.
Wildy does a good job of doing both, I feel like.
So, whatever. I'm obviously sub-shitting on Matt. But everyone else... But they all like wrote articles this week like he needs to get the fuck out of here. And when it's approached that, Paul, you've been on the beat. When it's approached that, it's like then you're done. And when the Onion makes fun of you, then you're really fucking toast.
Yeah, I don't know if you've mentioned that yet on your pod or if you will have by the time this airs on maybe Thursday, but the Brandon Staley comparison and then the fact like the Onion piece of it for Brandon Staley, it's equally as applicable because, like, it was so obvious that Staley had coached his last game. It was so obvious that Joe Barry should have just coached his last game that it became national satire. That is, like, you crossed the lexicon or whatever that phrase. But
like when Sean McDermott got made fun of on SNL.
Yes, you've crossed into that next level of like, oh, like something is here, like that this is now national discussion. And again, the other question I want to ask, but it is clearly an indictment of LaFleur as a leader. There's just no question to that. Like, and I don't know if that's going to prevent him from ever winning a Super Bowl as the head coach of the Packers. He does LaFleur does other things very well, but it does concern me. If I was Mark Murphy, who maybe had an opinion in this, I don't know. He's apparently, if he still has the same role he did a few years ago, Murphy, that is, that maybe he and Gutekunst and LaFleur had a three-person meeting and they came to this conclusion as a trio. If that's not the case, and I was Mark Murphy, now granted, if I'm Mark Murphy, I only have 7 months left on the job before I'm retiring. But, or is it a year and 7 months? Is he out in the summer of 24 or the summer of 25?
I think he's out after the draft.
Okay. So he's going out. Yeah. I would be like, it's concerning to me that LaFleur had the press conference that he did Monday. That's as his unofficial boss or leader of the franchise, I could be like, oh, like this was your moment to do the obvious thing. But instead, no. So, Grant, Joe Barry,
Well, I don't know that firing him this week would have been any better for the defense winning football games and competing. Like, I don't know if firing Joe Barry this week would have improved the product on the field.
May I interrupt?
Yeah, of course.
But it would show accountability. If a player,
we got to hold these guys accountable.
So wait, but like the Monday Night Football game that was recently, Who was it that they were talking on the Seahawks? Arik Wallen, where he got benched for the entire first quarter in the Seahawks secondary. And the broadcast and Buck and Aikman, they were talking about, like, well, you know, it's a suspension, quote-unquote suspension. It's, you know, a guy that needs to whatever. Like, it was something that happened as a result of performance that was inadequate. Yes. They didn't cut Arik Wallen. So that's kind of what I'm saying in terms of, Would the Packers be better for the last three games of the regular season without Joe Barry? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But, like, if you're a player or you're another coach, you're like, oh, this guy ain't going to cut me. He's not going to do shit. I don't really respect this guy because he's weak. He's weak. I'm going to keep walking all over him. He's weak. I think that's the perception.
I don't need a head on a spike just for the sake of putting a head on a spike unless the locker room is – like falling apart. And like, as we've been recording this, Devondre Campbell tweeted something really weird. He's like, I'm not playing through injuries again. They hold it against me, blah, blah, blah. It's like, unless this locker room is confused and frustrated and headed south, unless there's accountability with Joe Barry, I think it's fine. Let him coach the rest of the season. It's not like he doesn't have a back end. He doesn't have a secondary. So while I'm frustrated with him and I don't think he's the guy of the future, I don't think it's fair to expect at this point in the season a top 10 defense. What's really frustrating, and I guess this is really only the thing that I want to say about Joe Barry, is I listen to Matt LaFleur's press conference and I just get pissed because these reporters are like, do you think Joe Barry should still be here? Why do you think Joe Barry should still be here? And Matt defends this and then defends that. And then unprompted goes like, well, there's two, but the communication's got to get better. And way too many big plays. And it's like, Matt, listen to what you're saying. Like, go back and watch this press conference. You're saying that, well, I got to get more involved in making sure they're community. Man, you got to watch your
he's
own.
Trying to, he doesn't want to dump him. So he's trying to make him dump. He's trying to make, he thinks that Joe Barry will just realize it. And then at the end of the season, be like, Matt, I'm going to step aside. And then Matt's going to be like, oh no, really? he did this with, this is the same thing that happened with Patton.
Yeah,
it's
it went on too long.
It's like if a
and
friend
before
were to
that, call really, me, yeah.
It's like if a friend were to call me and be like, my relationship's not good." I'm like, "Oh, tell me about it." And then they're like, "Well, she's really mean to me, and we're never happy, and like we haven't made love in months." And I hear her late at night, like in another room, talking to other men on the phone. And I was like, "Wow, Do you think it's best that you guys stay together? Like, it sounds like maybe you guys should part ways." Oh no, I think it's what's best. We're going to work through it. Okay. And then my friend keeps complaining about, well, and also like she doesn't pay her half of the rent. And it's like, okay, you guys can stay together, but now don't complain to me about all the things that she does that annoys you. Right. And with Matt LaFleur, it's the same thing. It's like, you want this guy so bad. And yet all you do is complain about this and that in every press conference when he comes up. So I don't know. You can keep him if you want, but then don't stand up there and bitch about all the shit that he's doing wrong and all the struggles that your defense is having. I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It's just really frustrating. I think, like, I don't think it's personal to Joe Barry necessarily. I think their talent is overrated and watered down with injuries and with the trade of Rasul Douglas. I think everything's got to go. Every assistant.
Well, where the worry is. I think like people want him fired so that he's fired.
Correct.
I think there is some worry that he might somehow not get fired.
Yeah.
You mean like after the season?
Like we need to see him fired so that he's fired.
Yeah.
Because after 2024, like there is still a chance that he's our defensive coach here.
Yeah.
Despite all this, as long as he's not fired, there's still a chance that he doesn't get fired.
Did you see the Pro Football Focus rating? It was the worst pass coverage team, the worst team pass coverage rating in the Pro Football Focus era, which is like 12 years. In a single game, no team's defensive pass coverage has had a worst grade. It's the lowest it can be. Like Baker Mayfield couldn't have a higher passer rating. The Packers pass coverage defense could not have a worse rating. And like, I don't say this flippantly because Baker Mayfield should get credit for the pitch and catch that he was part of, but literally any NFL relatively competent level quarterback would have had that day. 90% of those completions were not like, oh, and he just fit it in a tight window. And oh, it was so close. Like, it was, here's 8+ yards of freedom on any side of the receiver.
Yeah.
Just kind of lob it to him, and it was fine.
If I always like to say, if the guy was trying to get fired, what would he have done different? How would he have coached him?
I like that philosophy, and it's exactly true here.
I mean, he coached him like he had Baker Mayfield in a playoff fantasy matchup. is what he coached him like.
Well, yeah. what's insane is they got 5 sacks and they forced 1 punt. That's unbelievable. Like, especially because this defense is about get one negative play here and there, catch him in a bad spot, and then take advantage. But they didn't take advantage. They had him in 2nd and 20 a couple of times throughout the game, and they instantly gave it up.
I say this almost not as a joke. I think an opposing offense against the Packers is better off on 3rd and 16 than 3rd and 3. Yeah. I'm serious.
No, you're
like,
right.
I would love to break down the numbers of like 3rd and hella long versus 3rd and short.
Well,
and see if it's really any different, or if in fact like the 3rd and long is a higher chance of success for the offense against the Packers.
Did you guys see the down and distance tweet from Paul Noonan?
I don't know this one.
Monday morning. So the Packers defense has had opposing offenses in 2nd and 20 or more 11 times this year, and they've allowed a gain of 18+ yards 4 times.
Oh.
Almost 50, closing in on 50%. Half of the time they give up 18 yards on a 2nd and 20.
See, and that's why Grant, so I'm going to compare the analogy to like when early in the season, when we're like, LaFleur, you have to take the training wheels off of Jordan Love. We don't know if he's good or not because you're not letting us find out. You're not letting, maybe, are you being protective? Because you know he's not, like, all those questions. Grant, to something you said a little bit ago about, like, well, it, like, look, yes, but look at the players that Joe Barry has to work with. For sure. Mm-hmm. But me and you could have done the job of what the defensive backfield did in that game because it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
We weren't put in a position to show how bad you and I would have been. We just were told to kind of stand in this general area, in the wrong general area. So, like, at least, like, I saw, I don't know who tweeted this, but it's an obvious thought that I also had. It was like, just go man coverage, and if they get burned, they get burned, and just, like, live with that. Because at least you can then know it was just like, well, we got out-manned, not we got out-schemed. And, like, that's what I'm appreciative of LaFleur with Love in the past month and a half, is, like, he said, okay, like, I'm just going to – if Love fails, he fails. If he succeeds, but I'm going to get out of his way.
Yeah.
Joe Barry is being so passive that, well, we don't even, like, probably the defensive backfield, Stokes and Ballantyne and Valant would get burned, but we don't even know that because it wasn't like they weren't even allowed to. I don't know.
They might get burned a few times, but then they might make a couple plays. Like, I'm a believer that especially with corners who are wired, we agree that corners are wired a little different, right? Like, they're this. I think you need to allow them to cock off and go one-on-one and play sometimes at least. And maybe that's man, maybe whatever coverage it is, you need to allow players with that headspace to lock in and to go one-on-one with someone because that keeps them engaged, right? And you're tapping into the part of their personality that makes them good at their position. And when you have all those guys standing in a patch of grass, like, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with zone defense, but you're not making that mental switch for those guys. And I think it frustrates them. It's like, I want to hit someone. I want to compete. I want to talk trash. Yeah. And when you have them standing out in a patch of grass, that part of their game is it's muted. It's taken away.
And if you listen to, like, and if you're one of the wide receivers too, it's not like you just got chipped at the point of like, okay, so is that hot? And then you like, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of contact wide receiver. No. And then you can kind of go into our zone coverage. It's like 8 yards off and soft zone. So it's like, if you're a receiver, you're like, this is great. I'm not getting bumped. I'm not getting thrown off route. I can do whatever I want. Like, they're just literally letting me do whatever I want. I think the biggest problem, well, the biggest organizational issue with this, and I talked about it with the accountability, I would be concerned. I mean, as a viewer, as a fan, I'm concerned that LaFleur doesn't have that gene. I think it's confirmed at this point. He doesn't have that you are the weakest link, goodbye, gene. He doesn't have it. Like, that's just not, he doesn't have that gene. I think that's troublesome. Like, long-term, like, forget this season. I think long-term, that's a problem.
Well, I don't know. Just to put a pin in this, but when he's like, yeah, the defensive communication is bad. I'm going to have to make sure I'm involved with that. It's like, no, that's not what I want. Like, you got your own, you're coaching a bunch of kids on offense trying to figure out how to win football games for the first time. And now you need to check in defensive meetings to make sure they understand checks and calls. Like, the fuck out of here.
I know Bart is here for a second.
And why does he think that's the solution? Why does he think that's the thing? No.
Do you remember, Grant? You were probably in high school. But like when McCarthy gave up play calling for 13 games one season.
2015 was that?
Something like that, right?
You were on the beat at the time.
I was. And so he was coming off the season in which, I mean, there were several like communication challenges on the sideline. There was that one game where McCarthy didn't know that Clay Matthews wasn't in. All the details are fuzzy in my head. It was a playoff game. He's like, oh, like I didn't even realize I should have done this, I should have done that, because McCarthy was so consumed in the offense. Then he gave the play calling to, I think it was Tom Clements at the time, or Edgar Bennett. I don't even remember. But he gave away.
I think it was Tom Clements. That sounds right.
Yeah.
You guys were talking this whole time?
We've been talking this whole time. We didn't need you. But then McCarthy realized, like, oh no, like I need to focus on this. Like, I would tell LaFleur,
I'm back.
I would just tell LaFleur, like, yeah, you need to do your thing and you need to trust that the person you hired to do that thing can do that thing. If you don't trust that the hired guy you hired to do that thing can do that thing, then that guy shouldn't be the guy. Like, that, it, I don't know. We've beat the dead horse, but it needed to be done.
That's why we're here. We're here to beat the dead horse. I don't think Joe Barry should have the best defense in the world. Let's make that clear. Because I think some Packers fans are unreasonable. Like, this talent has been watered down throughout the year. I'm not saying that Joe Barry is supposed to take this unit and make them the best defense in football, but I'm very sure that it's not possible to get less out of the talent that they have than was gotten on Sunday. Like, you could do no worse.
To Bart's point, if you wanted to get fired, what differently would you do? Nothing different. Like, that's what you would do.
Their front had a good day. Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, Lucas Van Ness, they showed up.
Yes.
And that was my thought for this game. It's like, well, all those guys are going to be pissed after the Giants game because they couldn't get home and everyone's throwing shade. And they got to Baker all day. They put him on the ground five times. They got a strip sack and the defense did nothing with it. The back end didn't do anything with it.
Bart, any closing thoughts?
Any?
No, I got kicked off of the internet.
Yeah, your internet was kind of shoddy until you got booted.
And it kept bringing you guys?
What's that?
It kept recording the show?
Yeah, it didn't. I checked the clock. It was still going.
It's still moving? Huh.
Mm-hmm. Paul was just telling stories of his time on the beat. He brought up 2015, and I think it was just because he wanted to talk about his time on the beat. But
Times I do not miss.
You guys know Paul was on the beat?
What a world.
Tell us about your Milwaukee days.
Put that on a sticker and sell it in the Bart Winkler store. Did you know that Paul was on the beat? I'd wear a t-shirt that says that.
All right. What non-Joe Barry topic?
One I know we're going to disagree on.
AEW.
Yep.
Kang. Guys, fucking Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, I saw that. I think what was the next Avengers movie going to be called? Or the 20, like in 2 years from now, like The Rise of Kang or?
Kang Dynasty.
Kang Dynasty. Thank you.
I like, or like, okay, what Marvel needs to do now that this happened is they need to do this. You know what Marvel, you know, how about instead of writing your dissertation on what Marvel needs to do, how about you go watch the fucking Marvel's movie?
Oh, the Marvels, yeah.
Yeah, which was good. Did you dive into Echo coming out in a couple weeks?
What's that one?
That's a Hawkeye spinoff.
TV show?
Their first TV MA in the Disney Plus streaming era.
Really?
Mature for mature audiences?
Kind of and Daredevil's supposed to be in it. Spoiler alert. He's in the trailers. All right. Anyway.
Bart, the best superhero movies of this modern era are the R-rated ones. Logan, Deadpool, etc.
I'm so over fucking Ryan Reynolds. I'm so over his.
I'm pretty jacked for Deadpool 3, though.
I love Deadpool's my favorite. And Logan was fantastic. Like, superhero movies should be R. Like, they should be R. hard R. Like, they should be violent. That's what it is. They're battling against, like, supervillains. What are we doing? Like, Ant-Man, like, I liked Ant-Man 1, and then Ant-Man 2 was, like, a silly haha. And I was like, wait, aren't these consequences real? Oh, no, this is all just, you're just being silly. This is all just for fun and silliness. I was like, take it seriously. Well,
Guardians was pretty good, all of them.
I loved Guardians. I haven't seen the third one yet. But
the first Iron Man was great. It was low-key.
First Iron Man was fantastic. Great. That was
the Spider-Man, all like, the spiders was great.
Well, which ones are we referring to?
When they're all together, No Way Home.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're mostly very good, but the best ones are the...
I can't do Ryan Reynolds. He's in those damn Mint Mobile commercials. Being sarcastic is not... that can't be your whole thing. You just can't... You need a second pitch. You need a change-up. I'm so sick of this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, you need a second pitch.
When's the last time Ryan Reynolds hasn't... I'm not with you on this. I like Ryan Reynolds a lot. When's the last time that Ryan Reynolds hasn't just played Ryan Reynolds?
I feel a little protective of Ryan Reynolds since I was one of the few people that watched him from the start. And I'm talking about Two Guys, a Girl, and A Pizza Place before they dropped that part of the show.
What show was that? Was that a... What was that?
It was on ABC. He was a character named... Berg. I think Berg was the other guy.
Who were the other...
Trailer Howard was the main lady. Who else was in it? Nathan... What's his last name? Fillion?
Yeah. Okay.
He was in it.
Do you guys like Castle? Speaking of Nathan Fillion, my mom and sister love that show.
That seems to be like in the same
category. We watched Castle for a while.
It was good. It was fine. I always enjoyed it when it was on.
I mean, it seems... I know, Grant, I'm going to hit you on a sore spot here, but Castle always... I never saw it. And I also never saw Suits. But it always reminded me of like, okay, it's just like a show that's on about a thing. And it's past... You just have it on the background and it's fine.
We've lost a purpose. We've lost that show. That's why Suits, I think, was so big this summer. And I'm not like everyone at BuzzFeed and The Ringer wrote their long column about this. It's like we got so obsessed with Thrones, with House of the Dragon, and these shows where you need to be like dialed in for an hour and 20 minutes. Like, it's high time we bring back the show that follows the same formula every week, and we kind of know what's going to happen.
Family Guy just did the latest Family Guy just did a whole episode on network TV, how it's dead. Mm-hmm. And like, every streamer needs to be whatever. And I don't know, the plot got away, but sometimes, sometimes it's just like
Family Guy episode. No.
Well, like, that's why Friends used to be the biggest. Well, Seinfeld was the biggest show, and Friends was huge also. And Friends would come on at 7, and Seinfeld would come on at 8, and then ER would come on at 9. So for a night, you were invested. So NBC, not only did they have the task of finding big hits, but they had the task of finding shows that they could stick at the 7:30 and 8:30 that weren't going to require too much brain thought, that you could kind of just like watch and go, ha, while you really waited for the next show. And that's where you got your Suddenly Susans and your Caroline in the Cities and your Inside Schwartzes and your Good Morning Miamis.
Wow. I don't know these.
I love getting Bart rolling on network TV. There's no one who knows network over-the-air broadcast television like Bart Winkler.
I do.
Just wait until everyone in lacrosse and all your other markets. I forget all your other markets that you just named earlier, but just wait till they get wait till you get your first network TV rant on national.
Oh, I've done that plenty of times already.
By the way, are you like when Jimmy Fallon got the Tonight Show, he had a very specific first guest. It had to be Robert De Niro, right? Do you have a first guest? Is your first guest important to you?
Well, I'm not like hosting that kind of show.
I know that, but I'm saying it will still be part of like the show's historical whatever. Like, oh, the first, this, you like whoever the first, like, hey, you're the first guest. Like, you may not say that because you wouldn't want to play up, but
Then it should be. Then it should be who the first two people on this pod were, and that was Tim and Toby.
There you go.
No, it doesn't matter.
No. All right.
Can you?
I just want, you know, the show.
How does that work?
What?
How do you?
What?
9 to 1. That's just. Does that the slot typically have a lot of guests? That's just very late.
9 to 1 is basically going to be like, my show is basically going to be like holy shit, what just happened? What is this? Get that sound. Giannis did what? He's charging who?
Yeah.
All right. Is Drew Locke crying? Let's play that sound.
You are Drew essentially Locke. America's post-game show for every sporting event. That's what you are. That's what you are. And yeah. I mean that in the best of ways.
Well, that's what I told you I was going to say.
Did you say that?
I said that to you.
Oh, shit.
And then Grant just stole it and took it as his own thought.
I don't remember that.
But well, Paul's been on America's pregame show.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mike Hill.
Yep, me and Mike. All right, here's the one we're going to disagree on. It wasn't Marvel or AEW. We won't go down that path. I want the Packers to win their final three games, even if missing the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm. This one is so obvious. The correct answer is so obvious. And I know you're not going to get it right. So go ahead.
So I saw J.R. Radcliffe doing like some playoff things about Seattle losing what it means. or winning. The Eagles losing. And there were a lot of people that were in his mentions saying, I just can't. I see these. I just can't. I can't go there. I can't think about it. I just can't. I am rooting for the same thing I've been rooting for every week this season. It's that for my favorite football team to win games.
God, thank you.
And I have strayed from that in the past. I have in the recent past when I thought there was a bigger picture here. And so I wanted the end of an era. I wanted Aaron Rodgers to leave. I wanted Jordan Love to have a 6-win football team and then like do the whole playoff thing, but in reverse. Now we're watching other teams and hoping they win to help our draft stock. Fucking draft. I just like I said before, my entire life has been a team that has at least been competitive. And as far as I know, the Green Bay Packers for 40 years, I mean, I'm chasing Super Bowl number 14. I'm not chasing. I'd rather pick number 14 instead of number 22. And I know there's some way that they could get the 5 seed.
5 pick.
I mean, that's not. We're the Green Bay Packers, motherfucker. To want to go into the ramification. Even there was a game Rodgers played against the Jets all those years ago where people didn't want him to play. It was after he came back. They lost to the Panthers, so they were out of the playoffs. And then, like, should he still play? And he played against the Jets. And I think they won, and they had, like, a really
the overtime game. Yeah.
And I was glad that he played. And I liked that he won. And your theory could backfire. There was a Houston Texans franchise last year that thought they needed to lose to get the number one pick. And then guess what? They won, got the number two pick. And then they were stuck with taking dumb test taker CJ Stroud.
Scrub.
And that's worked out pretty good. Don't tempt fate. Play. Don't anger the gods. Don't anger the football gods. Okay? Don't. No. And plus, if you want them to tank, what more could maybe they are. Maybe that's what you just fucking saw. Maybe the last 2 weeks they are tanking. Maybe that's why Joe Barry is here. No. If you want them to lose, I'll be very nice just in case anyone on this panel wants them to lose.
I don't.
If you want them to lose, you have a misguided framework of really the entire universe.
Agreed.
So let me give you something to think about. Just something to think about. I may not change your mind. I think if they win their final three games, they go 9-8 and they miss the playoffs. Going into the offseason on a positive note, at least from a three-game winning streak perspective, I think Joe Barry comes back. I believe, like with Jason Kidd, I believe the house is burning. It doesn't matter what's next. The house is on fire. Get the fuck out. because of that, it's not because and yes, I would rather pick 8th than 15th. Duh. But I think there's a bigger picture here to the whole thing. Is like, I want the players to have feel goods. I want Love to not have a 5-game losing streak. If I was going to not root for the Packers, and I'm not going to root for them to lose, but the question was, I want the Packers to win regardless of missing the playoffs. The grand scheme of it is, if they go on a 5-game losing streak, the past two plus the next three, including one that would be to the Panthers, which would be really bad, and one to the Bears, which would be not fun at all to have to deal with, which, by the way, the Bears could then pass the Packers in the standings, and like then you get to deal with all of that fun drama with Bears universe. But I think if they finish the season strong but miss the playoffs, I think Joe Barry comes back. If they finish the season poorly, I think Joe Barry is gone. I think the most important thing that can come out of not doing well in these final three is the obvious, even more obvious than the Onion publishing an article, the obvious outcome that, listen, there's a new, don't, guys, yes, Barry's going to coach this week 18 game, but like, wink, wink, nod, nod, he's not our defensive coordinator next year. The house is burning. Get out. If a couple
they're not going to keep Joe Barry. There's no way.
So if that were true, I could more easily, not entirely, but more easily say, okay, 9-8, even if they don't make the play, like, that's great. But I don't think that's true. I'm not convinced that LaFleur will do that. And because of that, I'm not going to root for them to lose. That is not what I'm saying. Some people will. I won't. If they lose, I will not be like, arr, like I have these past two games. When they were 6-6, and then they lost, 6-7, and then they lost, I was like, oh, this and that, and this and like, if they lose, it will be, all right, well, at least we're closer to our goal, which is like needing to move in a different defensive coordinator direction. I will pause there. Grant, I want the Packers to win their final three games, even if missing the playoffs. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Mm-hmm, because they're my favorite football team, and the point is to win the games. You play to win the games as
you play to win the Super Bowl. You play to win the Super Bowl. You have a better chance of doing that.
So the Joe Barry angle is one that I had not considered. I'm with Bart in that I think they're going to part ways. His contract is up. I don't think Joe Barry.
It is.
Yes, at the end of this year.
He's a free agent. Yeah. Joe Barry is not under contract for 2024.
I don't think so.
I've not heard that.
I guess I could be wrong.
I'm not trying to like put you on the spot. I just had not heard or
seen. In any event, I don't think he'll be back, regardless of how the next couple weeks go. And if I'm wrong, I guess I'm wrong, and then I'll be mad about that. But I guess for the folks who like have their hand on the tank switch every week, or like the people that join Bart's post games after a loss, is like, see, they should have been tanked. Like, what do you guys want? Do you think there's some lever in the clubhouse that they switch on and off based on the week? It's like, this week now we'll try to lose, and this week, like, well, never mind, we're focused on winning now. That's not how it works. Like, what do you want them to do? Sit their left tackle and their star cornerback and their best wide receiver and one of their running? They already fucking are. Like, what do you? They just lost to the Bucs and to Tommy DeVito, and you're like, we should be tanking. Bitch, they are the last 2 weeks. Like,
by the way, let's be clear. I know you're not necessarily saying that's what I'm saying. Don't tank. Like,
then what is it you want? And it's not just you, Paul. It's everyone else that comes on this post-game show after a win to rain on everyone's parade, or after a loss to brag about how you were right. Both are obnoxious as shit. Okay, tell me what you want. What do you want?
I think the Packers need to be best positioned to be a serious Super Bowl contender.
That's nice. What do you want them to do? What are you suggesting?
A way to get there.
Paul wants to root for them to win, but then have them lose.
No, I won't. I will not be actively invested. I will not. I know this. I will not, unlike the past 2 weeks, I will not be emotionally invested against the Panthers. I won't be.
Okay.
Let me answer your question, Grant. There's more than one way to build a team. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. People get draft picks wrong all the time. Bart used the Bryce Young, CJ Stroud example. There's hundreds more. You can, like San Francisco, and yeah, their quarterback was the last pick of the draft. They had pick after pick after pick after pick, like where they were bad. They had low, early first round draft picks. The Packers have really always not been bad enough. Like it's like, for me, it's like the Herb Cole idea as the owner of the Bucks, eighth seed. So you get swept out of the first round, and you're the 15th pick in the draft. unless you strike Giannis gold, there's no way out of that. That's purgatory. So last year, the Packers
were a different league. That's apples and oranges. Spiritually, understanding.
I mean, I was using the 49ers as an example also, but my point is like there's a point at which you'd say, can the Packers win the Super Bowl with Joe Barry? My answer is definitively no. Is the Packers roster good enough right now, no matter how great their coordinators are, to win the Super Bowl? My answer is no. That means there needs to be a talent influx. You're going to have a better chance at that to happen the higher you pick. And the more obvious it is, because I don't trust LaFleur as a leader, I don't trust that without it being hit over the head so many times for him to make what seems like an obvious decision to 99% of us, because of those things, I want them to be bad so that it's obvious that, hey, we need to do this differently. And not like, well, let me hear the counterpoint to we should do this differently. No, it's fucking obvious we need to do this differently. And until that point is hammered, that's what I would struggle with. As a front office person of the team, as a leader, as a fan, I want it to be obvious that this shit ain't working. That would be my answer to your question.
Well, so it is, it's obvious to everyone except for one gentleman.
Unfortunately, no, that's the guy.
It still is obvious. It is. It's obvious to even LaFleur. It's obvious to LaFleur the defense isn't working. He hasn't made the connection yet that it's Joe.
That's why I'm saying hit him over the head three more times, including an embarrassing loss to the Panthers, and it will have to happen. Like, it will have to happen. If the Onion didn't make you do it, what will?
So you are looking me in the eye right now and saying that you would prefer the Packers to lose the next three in a row, which are three games against what? The Panthers?
Yep.
That would be a joke loss.
Bears.
And two divisional rivals. Do you want that?
It would suck.
No shit. Yeah,
it would suck.
They'd lose five in a row. And every bit of goodwill that the team built up this year would be gone completely.
It
would
be torched. Except for the extreme outlier person, and I saw one or two of them, no one is blaming Jordan Love. I mean, I'm not saying he's been perfect. Jordan Love has not been perfect. No one except for that extreme outlier individual is looking at the last two losses and saying, oh man, if Jordan Love were Aaron Rodgers, oh, if Jordan Love had just been good, Love is clearly bad. Bring in the bench, you know, bring in the next set. As long as Love keeps playing the way he's playing, and I, as a fan, still see Dontavian Wicks being like, holy shit, they found a guy in the fifth round, and all of these other like younger pieces developing, Lucas Van Ness getting more snaps and playing well with those snaps, things like that, I will look back and say, the result in the moment, you know, you lost to the Bears. You lost to the, like, okay. Well, at least LaFleur is being just repeatedly smashed over the head with the obvious thing that has to happen. And I would say with Brian Gutekunst, with the upcoming draft, being hit over the head with, like, what is it you clearly need to do differently? And if you're 500 or, you know, 9-8 or 8-9, I don't think that message is as obvious. I want it to be obvious.
I don't know that Brian Gutekunst needs a message. Hey, you really need to pick good players this year. Like,
but strategically, like, what is Gutekunst's strategy in the draft? To take, like, the our relative athletic score guy.
To try to draft
the
best players.
Yeah. Draft.
Can we athletes. Talk more about this Devondre Campbell tweet?
It's weird, isn't it?
Go
not
for
going
it.
Out my way anymore, and I'm not playing through injuries anymore, because when shit goes wrong, they always use it against. I'm treating everyone accordingly and giving them the same energy they're giving me. Focus on yourself and your mental 59. You owe it to yourself. Is Jair holding out on a protest?
I will. I can't wait to find out. And speaking of things that LaFleur, I mean, LaFleur said in his Monday press conference.
And is this the same shit that happened with Za'Darius Smith? Isn't this the same shit that happened with him?
It doesn't feel too dissimilar. But let's just say this. Jair has been out for six consecutive games. It takes being out for four consecutive games to be put on the injured reserve. LaFleur said during his Monday press conference of this week, it was a, quote, miscalculation about Jair's injury status. It's another knock. Also, maybe there's more than
who gives it. Who gives a shit? Who do they need the roster spot for? Josiah DeGuara? Like, holding that against him.
No, who's the roster spot go to? Some fringe player, like, whatever. But nevertheless, like, they went in 6 weeks ago thinking, like, oh, like, a game or two. It's weird. It's weird. It's weird.
Totally.
But when you have a bunch of trust built up, a weird thing, you just go, it's just a weird thing. when you don't have trust built up, as is the case with me, where there's not trust built up, then I'm like, whoa, another red flag, you know. And I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say, if I don't trust you, I'm going to take everything as a bigger deal because I don't trust the messenger. You know what I mean? Does that resonate at all?
You have like a Packers tinfoil hat on right now. I think you need to take a deep breath and step away from your doomsday shelter with all your freeze-dried food and your weapons. And just they're a mid-football team that's very injured and they're frustrated after two bad losses. And they're probably going to win and lose a couple games down the stretch, and it'll probably just be.
But well, first off, then tell Devondre Campbell that, like, it's not like it's
Devondre
just
Campbell. Mike Clemens was telling us the other day. Mike Clemens, the night before Thanksgiving, couldn't lift his arm above his head. The night before the Thanksgiving game, he could not put his arm above his head.
I'm sorry, who couldn't?
Devondre Campbell. He's been hurt as hell.
Yeah.
I just probably would have played Isaiah McDuffie because Campbell was fish food.
He's probably better right now anyway.
Well, if Campbell's that banged up, yeah.
No, but I mean, like, period. Like, McDuffie, yeah.
Well, I think Campbell's this bad because he's aging, and also I think he's very hurt.
Yeah.
Grant, I think you have to go. I'm getting really fucking pissed about my internet.
I do have to go.
I lost track of time in my spirited positions here today.
Advocating for the Packers to lose. That's what happens.
I did not advocate for. I do not want them to and they never would. No team.
Then what was the last 15 minutes about? If we're closing and you're like, I don't want them to lose. What have we been doing here?
No.
What did we just discuss for 15 minutes? What was the point?
The best outcome for, like, short-term pain, long-term gain. That was what we were talking about.
Nice. I like that.
Thank you. And that, like, is I realize there will be people who listen to this who are like, yeah, go Paul. And people are like, hey, what an idiot. Like, because it's a relatively, like, you know, divisive way to think about wins and losses and team structure. And, like, that's fine. But, like, is what I'm saying at least, and you can say no, by the way, does it make sense? Or is it just completely defy logic in your
brain? Yeah, I understand why you've tied your brain into a pretzel this way.
You want to root for the Packers to win, and if they lose, it's not going to bother you that much. And actually, secretly, you'll be happier.
And that's fine.
If again, we play a hypothetical game here. If you told me they're not making the playoffs, and they're still going to win their last three, okay, it's a hypothetical game. If you told me that no matter how well they play the last three, that Joe Barry's gone, if I knew both of those hypothetical answers to be absolutes, it would change the way I think about it. But
yeah, no, I think there's a lot of people. That's what I said earlier. He's not fired until he gets fired. Grant, I'm getting anxiety about you, so go on with your merry day.
I will. Nice to see you both. Bart, congrats.
Thanks for always doing this. We'll talk again soon. I don't know when.
We will. Until we talk again, have a good
one. Yeah, like, this is like part of our staple. Like, I hope this isn't like. Hope this isn't our last.
We'll do it again. We got to figure out a different time. I'm not recording at 7:30 in the morning anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, just because someone has to stay up late now, they can't do more. That's reasonable.
All right.
This has been a privilege as always. I'll talk to you both soon.
Bye, buddy. Bye.
See you.
Oh my.
Anything else on your brain?
I don't know. Not particularly.
You know, one thing I'll tell you about the national versus like local is I'll spend a lot of time, like the Joe Barry thing, I think crosses a thing to spend time on it on national radio, right?
Yeah.
I thought so. But then even when I'm talking about the Packers, I'm like, oh, shit, am I just like being little Milwaukee guy? Got my big platform. So I feel a lot more comfortable talking about the Cowboys or the Bills or the Bears or the Niners. I feel a lot more comfortable talking about teams that aren't mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when you have a favorite, like, I don't know, student, you focus on the other ones because you don't want to appear too favorite, but then you're like doing them a disservice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you are sure you're validated in talking about it because, again, I don't think never did I ever expect The Onion to write a Joe Barry article. And that's kind of like the, like we said, the Brandon Staley thing. Like everyone, like Sean McDermott, it's on SNL. Like The Onion covers Joe Barry. Like it's just, you have to. So it doesn't matter that it's Wisconsin centric or it's about a bigger market team or whatever. Like you can talk about it extensively.
Well, that's what I always try to equate it to like
something bigger. Like, this is another instance in sports where someone knows what to do, but they won't do it.
Yeah.
And I always wonder why. Why won't you do it? Why right. won't you do it? And yeah. There's not a, other than him being a bitch, I don't know that there's a real answer.
If you were talking, if this same situation just happened with one of the other 31 teams and you were hosting a national show, there's nothing that any caller or guest would come on and say, you know, Bart, you're thinking about this the wrong way. It's really good that LaFleur retained Joe Barry. That take does not exist, mm-mm. right? Like, there's not an analyst who has come out and defended Joe Barry and said,
and just, you know what? You know, the everybody that does the film, you know, you get all these film recaps Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. A lot of Joe Barry piling on now.
But, like, and that's my point is, like, you're thinking of, like, it's so obvious. And, like, is this something I can talk about on a national show? Yes, because it's crossed over into, like, if this was a different NFL team, Bart, I would say about that other NFL team, they don't know what they're doing. If the Chargers had not fired Staley, that would be a bigger topic than firing Staley, because it would be like, wow, they do not know what they're doing, right? Like, that's the concern, is that you start to, like, teeter into, like, laughingstock territory, which you have. It's the Onion. But you start going into laughingstock territory where it's like, well, here's an example of an incompetently run franchise, right? Like, you have to, like, you stand on your principles, and if LaFleur, whatever, but I just, most of the time, not all, most of the time, doing the obvious thing when it's really, really obvious, it's really obvious for the reason that it needs to happen. Like, in life, like, oh, this is super obvious, to, like, use Grant's example earlier. Like, it's super obvious that his buddy needs to leave that girl, but just can't. And it's like, well, then you're off base. Like, there's something affecting you that you refuse to acknowledge reality here. That's my concern here. For, like, from an, even like a national perspective for the Packers, is like, this is a team run by someone who just doesn't have the balls to just do the obvious thing. That's a problem. Hence, lose three more, and I will trust that you might possibly have a better idea that this can't possibly continue. Because I don't trust you.
I understand that.
Is that the best articulated way that you've heard someone say it? Like, because I mean, like, I know
it took you 25 minutes to get there, but I understand.
Well, thank you. It was a long form.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for your services, not just here on this pod, but throughout the show history.
Of course. Yes. I will miss these, at least the timing of this. It's a fun way.
I don't know. I don't want to get, like, weird, but there's a place for some of the Chuck and Winkler shenanigans in the CBS universe.
I'm very tentative to suggest anything to you, because you should do you. You shouldn't, whatever. If you inquire, I'll be happy to give you an opinion, but I try not to be proactively giving you thoughts.
I want this high tide to rise all boats. Like, me doing a national show, it should mean that some of the guests we've had on, they can get some national rub. Some of the just people that come on here every night, now you can start getting your calls in, and I'll make sure that you come on the air. And maybe, just maybe, a guy who has been in this business a lot longer than me as a journalist, one Steve the Newsman, maybe maybe I could bring him along on the ride.
See, and like, whatever. I know we're just talking here, but you're also recording it. Is like, what has made your show what it's been in different iterations on the radio and on podcasts and, like, now on a national level, like, keep doing all that. Like, obviously it's why you've stood out. It's why you've gotten to the point you've gotten to. Like, keep doing that stuff. And I will more than happily call my friend Steven or anyone else who might have made past appearances who may or not be loosely connected to me. If you need a good poem,
Buck.
Yeah. Oh, you remember Buck? I didn't remember Buck's name. Buck.
Buck and Tosa, sure.
Buck and Tosa is a poem. All right.
I remember everybody.
If you ever have a producer whose girlfriend's dad,
I All right, I'm dying. So
what's your producer's name? What's your producer's name?
David Shepherd is recording, being the
David Shepherd's girlfriend. Okay, I'll work on it.
But he also does a lot of stuff on NBA radio, like he hosts shows.
Yeah.
So I'm eager to chop it up with him.
Good. Goodbye.
See ya. End of show. Bye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.